This Easter Sunday morning, we're going to consider how God's wonderful plan of redemption was fulfilled through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan of redemption is what the Bible is all about. God's plan of redemption is what history is all about. God's plan of redemption is what this world is all about. God created this world so he could redeem it. Redemption isn't God's plan B. It isn't God's knee-jerk reaction to a world gone wrong. Redemption has always been God's plan A. God has had a plan of redemption from eternity past. God had a plan of redemption before he even created anything. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, 19 to 21. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God conceived his plan of redemption before he created anything. He planned to send Jesus to redeem us before he even made us. Colossians 1:16 says that all things were created for Jesus. God created the world for Jesus. He created the world so he could redeem it through Jesus. God's plan of redemption is wonderful, brothers and sisters. We were on God's heart long before he even made us. Long before he even made anything. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the creation of the world. How wonderful it is to think that God planned to redeem me and you long before we even came into existence. God's love for us is from eternity past, and it will go on forever into eternity future. Now, after God created the world, he began to reveal his plan of redemption to people over time. God's plan of redemption was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Let's look at Luke 24, 25 to 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Jesus explains to his disciples that God revealed his plan of redemption through prophecy. The whole Old Testament was pointing forward to the coming of Jesus, the one who'd redeem God's people. Let's have a quick look at verse 21, where Jesus' disciples say, "But we had hoped that Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel." The Jews were waiting for their promised Messiah who'd come and redeem them. They knew God had promised this in his word. They just weren't expecting God to provide redemption in the way that he did. They were expecting a Messiah who would come and redeem them from being ruled by the Roman Empire. A Messiah who would rule on a throne in Jerusalem, like great King David of old. Jesus wasn't the Messiah they were expecting and hoping for. So they rejected him and crucified him. But it was through their rejection of him and his crucifixion and then resurrection that God provided redemption. Redemption from sin. Redemption from eternal judgment. Redemption into God's family. Redemption into eternal life. Now let's take a closer look at how God's plan of redemption was fulfilled through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's look at verses 44 to 46. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Jesus explains to his disciples that it was prophesied in the Old Testament that God's plan of redemption would be fulfilled through his death and resurrection. Jesus' death and resurrection is the only way God could redeem us. Jesus' death and resurrection is the only way God could forgive our sins and save us from his coming judgment. Jesus' death and resurrection is the only way God could give us eternal life with him. How can the God who's completely holy and righteous redeem sinners? He can't just simply choose to redeem them, otherwise he'd cease to be holy and righteous, which is impossible. God's perfect plan of redemption is that he'd send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a human being and to live a sinless life, the life we haven't lived, but the life God requires. God's standard is perfection. He can accept nothing less because of who he is and his character. And Jesus died in our place, brothers and sisters. He died for our sins. He took the punishment we deserve. And God raised Jesus from the dead, proving he's the Son of God and that God had accepted his atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus conquered sin and death to give us eternal life with him. Jesus died and rose to redeem us. God's plan of redemption was fulfilled through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this wonderful redemption is offered to all, but not all receive it. So who does receive it? Let's look at verses 46 and 47. Jesus told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Jesus explains to his disciples that the way to receive God's forgiveness, the way to receive God's redemption, is through repentance. God offers redemption to everyone, but he doesn't redeem everyone. He requires his gracious offer to be received. He requires a response, the response of repentance. The only way we can be redeemed is by repenting. Now, what does it mean to repent? Repentance literally means to change our mind. We change our mind about God and we change our mind about ourselves. We stop trusting in ourselves and we start trusting in God. We turn away from sin and we turn to God. We realize we're sinners who deserve God's judgment and we put our trust in Jesus to redeem us and bring us into a beautiful relationship with God that'll last forever. And as redeemed people, we continue to repent every day. Every day we continue to trust in Jesus alone for redemption. Every day we continue to turn away from sin and live for God in response to his wonderful redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's redemption is not only received through repentance, it's also received with great joy. Let's look at verses 50 to 53. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. We're told that after Jesus leaves his disciples and goes back to heaven, they're filled with great joy. So why are they filled with great joy? Shouldn't they be sad that he's leaving them? They're filled with great joy because Jesus has redeemed them. Their sins have been forgiven and they have eternal life. They know they'll see Jesus again one day and then they'll be with him forever. This is the most wonderful news ever. And that's why they're filled with great joy. It's the only response that makes sense. Now, I'm sure that when we were redeemed, we were filled with great joy. But many of us have been Christians for a long time now. So the challenge for us is not to let that great joy dwindle, because we're still redeemed. So we should still be filled with great joy. Every day we need to think about how God has redeemed us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we need to thank him and praise him for it every day. And if we do this, then we'll be filled with great joy every day. Let's look at verses 52 and 53 again. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. The disciples worshipped Jesus. They wanted to praise him for all he'd done for them. They were continually in the temple, praising God, and they were filled with great joy. Now, before Jesus ascended, he also told his disciples that he's appointed them to tell others about his death and resurrection, so they too can be redeemed. Let's look at verses 46 to 48. Jesus told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus tells his disciples that they're his witnesses. He's about to ascend into heaven, and he gives them the responsibility of telling others about God's plan of redemption. They've seen all that Jesus has done, and they've heard all that he's said. They've seen that he was crucified, and they've seen that God has raised him from the dead. And they're about to see him ascend into heaven. And Jesus has clearly explained God's plan of redemption to them, and he wants them to go and share it with others. And as we read on in the Bible, in the book of Acts, we see that this is exactly what they did. They obeyed their Lord and they went and told people about God's plan of redemption through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we're called to do the same. We're also Jesus' witnesses. We're witnesses of his death and resurrection. Now, we didn't see them happen, but we believe they happened, based on very good evidence. And so we need to tell others that they happened. We need to tell them about God's wonderful plan of redemption, that he offers them forgiveness and eternal life with him through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's plan of redemption has been fulfilled with the coming of Jesus. but not in its ultimate sense. It'll be ultimately and completely fulfilled when Jesus comes again and a new world is created. Let's look at Revelation 21, 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." God's plan of redemption was conceived before he created the world. And God's plan of redemption will be completed when he creates a new world. When the Lord Jesus returns and this world is destroyed, God will create a new world, a perfect world, where there's no more sadness or pain or sin or death. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:13. In keeping with God's promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Brothers and sisters, we've already been redeemed, but we still have our sinful nature and we still face death. So we long for that final redemption. Romans 8:23 says that we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. We long for that day when we'll be completely free from sin. We long for that day when we'll be with God forever. We long for the completion of redemption. Let's praise God for his wonderful plan of redemption. Let's praise him for redeeming us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's tell others about God's plan of redemption so they too can be redeemed. And let's long for Jesus' return when our redemption will be complete. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your wonderful plan of redemption. We are in awe of you when we think that you conceived of this plan before the creation of the world. Not only before you made us as individuals, but before you'd made a single thing, that you'd plan to redeem us. Long before you even made us. Father, this is an overwhelming thought, and it fills our hearts with love for you and the desire to praise you and worship you. And Father, thank you that you revealed this wonderful plan to people over time throughout the Old Testament, and finally the son you'd planned to send before the creation of the world, finally you sent him at just the right time, the perfect time in history, the perfect time in your perfect plan. You sent him into this world to live and die and rise to accomplish our redemption. And Father, it's so good to be your redeemed people. It's so good to be in relationship with you, the eternal God. And that we will be in this beautiful relationship with you forever. That we will worship you and praise you forever and ever for the astonishing grace you've shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please don't allow our joy to dwindle, but please fill us with your great joy every day as we remember and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ and all he's done for us. And it's through him we pray these things. Amen.